Thank you, Alice, for your story. We can feel your luckiness from here. Our next storyteller came into skiing later in life and I believe learned how to ski by becoming a junior Nordic coach. Yes, sometimes you can coach first and then learn to ski later. And now his entire family loves skiing. His three children and his wife are the first I call when I need an obstacle course for the Junior Nordic program. And they do the tour of Anchorage, and they are a very wonderful family. Please welcome Jeff Wright.
The great thing about this next story is it includes all the members of my family, and none of them are here tonight. So the bad thing is that I hope you all can keep a secret that they can go to the APRN site and listen to it. So when Tamara first asked me to do this, I kind of wanted to tell the big sweeping story of like, wow, how much, you know, how trails, you know, across the entire continent just sort of built our family and how they're sort of the center of everything for us. However, I started to sort of draft the outline for that story, and I realized that was going to be, you know, that wasn't going to be 7 minutes, that was going to be 7 hours. So and then I went and watched the little Moth Radio Hour, like, how do you do this? Like, okay, I need an actual story, like an event. And I think maybe it's not surprising. I'm apparently going to tell the second Sufferfest story of the evening. I bet there's more. And at the end, I have a little thought about why those are so popular. So just quick show of hands. How many folks here? I bet it's a lot. How many folks have hiked Crow Pass? Yeah, half. More importantly, how many haven't hiked Crow Pass yet but are planning to? All right. So I'm going to apologize in advance for the story. Don't use it as an excuse not to do the hike. It's actually really is a great hike. But this is one of those everything that could go wrong did go wrong sort of days, or sort of hikes. It didn't start that way though. I mean, when we you know, getting time off, you know, and getting all three kids together at once is a bit of a challenge. But we'd organized it, and we were planning to. You know, I've gotten old enough. I'm not interested in the big epic long days before. I actually like, you know, a shorter hike and a long time at camp. And so we're like, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do the two night version of the hike. And we got up to the trailhead on the Girdwood side, and everything looked perfect. I mean, it was blue skies end to end. The forecast for all the days we were going to be out was just a little, you know, lower 70s, which is actually a little warmer than I would prefer to do a hike, but still, you know, you can't ask for much better than that. There were in retrospect, however, as we got out of the car, sort of two ominous signs. They didn't seem so ominous at the time. But ominous sign number one is it was a little bit windy. In fact, it was fairly windy. But despite that, there were more than just a few black flies just at the parking lot level. And everybody here is familiar with black flies. Yeah. So that was like, wow, that's just a lot of flies for this low down. But that's all right. That's not too many. And the other ominous thing was I have three kids. One of them is 19, and he's like king of the Sufferfest. He can carry a pack much bigger than mine these days. It's awesome. I've got a super fit, and it's all, you know, cross country. You know, they're all super ski athletes, so you know they're all prepped for doing this kind of thing. My daughter was 16 then, and then my son is 11, and it's important to note for the story that he is almost supernaturally cheerful. His name is Oliver. He is happy all the time. It's almost pathological happiness. In fact, if I could figure out a way to bottle it and sell it, I'd be a millionaire many times over. But Oliver loves going backpacking. I mean, just loves it more than anything. But he was, you know, as we were getting all, you know, thrown on packs and getting ready to go, he was a little quiet and a little subdued. I didn't think too much of it at the time. I thought maybe he was just, you know, thinking about things or whatever. But anyway, we start off, and the first day up is it's amazing. It always is. You know, that's a beautiful hike up there. We went through the pass. We found an awesome spot just by, just kind of past Raven Glacier a little ways. And it was still important to note, still blowing, still windy, but sunny and warm. The flies in the parking lot were gone. And we got to our camp. One of the things we do, and this is a packing recommendation for everybody. A lot of times it sucks if you're out there and it's too windy. We always actually pack kites. They weigh almost nothing. And so if you get there in a campsite and it's blowing a lot, they give you something fun to do with the wind. So we had several kites, so we flew our kites, so we made our dinner, and it was as picturesque as could be. We all went to bed, woke up the next morning, refreshed, pumped, you know, ready to go, you know, got camp, you know, taking it on quickly, and then hiked down to the creek, through it and into what my wife then cheerfully dubbed the Enchanted Parsnip Forest. That was lesson Cow Parsnip Forest. That was lesson number one, which is you don't do Crow Pass right when like the cow parsnip is at its zenith height, because it's just about as tall as me, and you know, so you're just hiking through miles and miles of it. But that actually wasn't so bad. What happened though is just as we got to that point, the wind died, and when the wind died, the flies came out. And I've done backcountry Alaska a lot. I've been out with the bugs a lot. I'm not intimidated by that normally. But this was unreal. It was one of those, like, you stop and instantly you're not covered by, it's not like 10 flies or 50 flies. It's hundreds of flies. It feels like thousands of flies. And the only way to manage it is to just, if you keep moving, you know, that keeps it down somewhat. But it's one of those, like, you could swat your arm and you could kill, you know, 10 with a single swat. So we start hiking, and it is unpleasant. You know, we're pushing through cow parsnip, pushing away the flies, and we get to the river. And the plan was to stop and eat lunch before we crossed. And of course, foolishly, we hit it midday on a warm day, which means that there's a lot of melt off from the glacier right there. So the river's running; it's pretty strong. My kids had never done that crossing like that before. My littlest isn't a very big guy, too, so it's like, you know, that's a lot of river. And so we planned to sort of stop and have lunch and, you know, kind of get ready. But unfortunately, the flies were even worse by the time we got to the river, so there was no stopping. It was just like, okay, we have the plan. Let's get the packs off. And I've been thinking the whole way, like, I wasn't looking forward to the river crossing. I was thinking, you know what, the one good thing is that's going to be the moment. You know, the flies aren't going to be out there in the middle of the river, right? Or maybe you guys know better than me. I thought that they weren't. But instead, when we all got our packs off and started, the flies stayed with us. I mean, I think what we became is a five-person human fly barge. And I half expect that at the other side, we brought so many flies that at the other side of the river, there's like a fly town. There's like a whole fly colony that's named after us for having ferried them across. And we got across, and we were going to rest up from the crossing. You know, you do that river crossing. By the time you get, you know, to the other side, your feet are totally numb. We're like, nope, flies are terrible. Got to keep going. We kept hiking, and as we were going through, although the weather was really good, it had been rainy for quite, you know, really pretty rainy the prior couple of weeks. And what I hadn't looked at the trail report. If I had, I would have known that there was a big section of the trail that was flooded. So we got there, and there was two choices. We made the wrong one. The choice number one was just to walk through it, and the water was anywhere from knee deep to about waist high and cold. But that was actually the easier thing. What we tried to do instead was like, well, we'll just sort of bushwhack around it. But it was slow and dense. And after a mile or so of that, we finally just, you know, cut back to the trail, slogged through the water on the trail. And at this point, as we get out of the trail, we're lower altitude. We're in the forest. The flies are still not great, but you know, it's cutting down a little bit. It's not quite as bad. But at that point, I turn and look at Oliver, my supernaturally cheerful kid, and he is just, you know, he's literally sitting there walking, and there are tears coming out of his eyes. And I was like, oh my God! And again, you have to understand that Oliver skied his first USIC when he was 9 years old, and he was going to ski it with his mom. Instead, at the start line with a gazillion people, he just bolts away, and skis half the race himself. Finally, like. finds himself a rest stop. Some women stop him at one of the feed stations. Say, kid, where's your parents? He's left his mom far behind. She's like, I don't know. He didn't care. And he spent 20 minutes, you know, sitting there helping them at the feed station while she caught up. So he's a really intrepid kid. And yeah, this is a long day, and yeah, the flies were bad, but this is just unusual. Well, Kathy felt his forehead, and because my wife's a nurse, she always has a thermometer. Yeah, our kid's got 100-degree fever. So you know, there goes the whole Parent of the Year award right there. But it's like, okay, well, we're gonna this isn't like a really ideal spot to camp, but we're gonna start looking for any spot. Oliver's sick, you know, he's exhausted. So we hike forward. We're finally out of the flooded section of the trail. We hike forward about another half mile or so, and my daughter and I are up ahead. We turn around the bend, and there, right in the middle of the trail, there's a fallen log, and sitting on the log in the middle of the trail is a black bear. On either side of the black bear is, on one side is one very, very young, very cute cub, and on the other side is another very young, very cute cub. And my wife is, she's a very rational person, but she is deeply bear phobic. She would say bear cautious, but she hasn't come around the bend yet. My daughter, my very wise daughter, goes rushing back and said, Mom, stop. And she says, why? It's like, there's a bear there and I don't want you to see it. And Kathy stops, and we all back around, and we're like, okay, let's go ahead and wait this out. So we wait, you know, 5 minutes or so and peek around the bend. And sitting there in exactly the same position as the sow, and she totally sees us. We see her. She doesn't seem too perturbed, but she's right in the middle of the trail. And so we go back and we wait another 10 minutes and we come back around and they're all three in the same spot. It's like, okay, well, apparently we're not going to go through the trail. So we take a detour route in order to make Kathy fully happy with the detour route. It's a long detour route. It's another couple of miles off the trail to the base of the mountains there and through the scree and the boulder field and walk along. And then when we got, you know, far enough that everybody's comfortable, we cut back and we get to the trail. But at that point, it's like you're not going to pitch camp when you've seen, you know, a bear just a mile back. So we keep pushing and we actually push. At that point, it's like, all right, let's just go. And we go all the way. We get all the way to Icicle Creek and we set up our camp there. At this point, it's 11 o'clock at night. With all the extra detours that we took, we went out and sort of calculated. We'd done it about a 16 mile day. And our poor Oliver is so exhausted at the end of this that he falls asleep on the gravel bed as we're setting up the tent, just lying there in the middle of the gravel. We you know, carry him and get him to sleep for the night. Next morning, wake up, and it's picture perfect. You know, the flies are gone. We all manage a decent night's rest. You know, Oliver's Advil'd up and has bounced back to his, you know, as cheerful as ever. And we're sitting around there at the you know, having breakfast and you know, sort of answering that very important existential question: why on God's green earth do we do this? You know, we insist on having these adventures over and over and over again. This is supposed to be fun. And my daughter looks at me and she's like, well, you know, Dad, he said, we're good at this stuff. I mean, we may not be the fastest family in Anchorage, but we've got trudge. Like, there's no family that can trudge as well as we can trudge, and as far as we can trudge. And we all laughed about that. But it's funny, you know, you sit back and, you know, for all the fun adventures that we've had over the years, you know, I reflect back and it's a lot of times it's, you know, that was a good example of one. There are lots of others. It's the hard stuff. You know, it's not, I mean, not to say that I'm a, you know, I don't enjoy all the vistas and all the beautiful places we get to go and see, but it's getting through those rough moments that when you get to the other end, you're like, wow, we did that. We're kind of awesome. So that's our little trail tale. And I do want to say on behalf of NSAA that having raised three kids cross country skiing, which for the record, although I've become a super fan, I didn't start that way. I have to admit that until I moved up here, I didn't actually know that cross country skiing was a sport. I actually thought it was just something that people in Land's End cattle or L.O. Bean catalogs who wore a lot of wool. I thought it was something that they just went and did in the woods. So it was a whole surprise to me that there's this whole big thing. But I've raised three kids doing that, and if you like going backpacking with your kids, it's awesome to have them all be ski athletes because they can go, you know, anywhere. They can carry the heaviest packs. So thanks to NSAA for helping build my kids.